بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله ونحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شر انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. من نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المبين: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الحق تقاته وتموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبثها منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. In the name of Allah, who is the most compassionate and most merciful, truly praises for Allah, and we praise Him, and we seek His help, and we seek His forgiveness, and we put our trust in Him, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and our wrong actions. And whomsoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray, and whomsoever He leads astray, there is no one to guide him. And we bear witness that there is no deity but Allah one without a partner, and we bear witness that Muhammad is His worshipper and messenger. Blessings of Allah and peace be upon him and his family and his companions. Allah, praise be to Him, Most High, said in His clear book, O you who have attained to faith, fear Allah as He should be feared, and do not die save as you are as Muslims. And He said, O Allah, O people, fear your Lord that created you from oneself, and from it is made, and from the twain spread out a multitude of men and women. Fear Allah in your claim over one another and toward the wombs from which you have come. Truly Allah is the watcher over you. Alhamdulillah, الذي جعل يوم الجمعة وسيدر عينا من عبد ونسائنا ولايها وهو الذي فرد الصلاة والجمعة صلاة الجمعة بخالد الله. يا الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فصلوا ذكر الله وذكر الله. Praise be to Allah who made the day of congregation to be the best of days. We do not worship, we do not seek the aid of other than He who has made this congregation worship obligatory for us as witness in the saying of the Most High, O you who have attained to faith, if you hear the call for Salat on the day of congregation, haste to the remembrance of Allah, leave your work, your trading. The sincere believers, Al-Mukhminin al-Mukhlisin, Humul al-Ladi, Amanu wa Tata Amanu wa Qulubukum, wa Zikr Allah, wa Zikr Allah, Tatmanu wa Qulub. The sincere believers are those who have believed and whose hearts find rest in the remembrance of Allah, for truly in the only in the hearts, in the remembrance of Allah do the hearts find their peace and tranquility. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah the Most High said in a very brief verse, which we've discussed on and off many over the years, He says, "Inna lil insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu as-salihat wa tawassaw bil-haqq wa tawassaw bis-sabr." By the token of time throughout the ages, man is in loss. Truly man is in loss, except such as have faith to do righteous works and join together in mutual teaching of truth and patience and constancy. Another translation of that that Sheikh Nuruddin gives us is, "I swear by what remains of time that surely the human being is at a loss except for those who faithfully believe and perform good deeds and counsel one another to the truth and counsel one another to steadfast patience." As you know, his translations are a combination of Ali and Piccolo and others. before I dive into that, once again, as it applies to us, I feel, today, I think we need to look at the words a little. Al-Asr may mean two things. It may mean time throughout the ages, as it usually is translated, or long periods of time, in which case it comes near to the kind of abstract of idea of dar, of dar, of time. And, or it means, as you know, late afternoon, like the Asr prayer. And that's from which the Asr prayer, you know, takes its name, from that specific period of time. And so in this surah, there's an appeal made to time as one of the creations of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, of which everyone knows something about, but no one can fully explain the real significance of time. It can be experienced, but it's not easily explainable. Many things are a result of time. Time, it is said, searches out and destroys everything material. The moment we just stood through when I read has been searched out by time and destroyed. And it's never to be recaptured again. It's totally obliterated. The only thing that remains is the memory of the time. The only thing that remains is what occurred in that time, maybe. But that moment is gone, obliterated. And no one very few people, if you say no one, I don't think that's pretty exact, in non-spiritual literature has expressed the tyranny of never resting time better than Shakespeare. In his sonnets, he says, never resting time. He uses that term. Nothing against time's scythe can make defense. Or scythe, I mean. Well, nothing against time's scythe can make, can defend. A scythe, you know, that your children know what a scythe is? It's a big, what do you call it? Huh? Blade, yeah, that's your swing blade, that you swing like this. And it's usually associated with death. That the angel of death carries a big scythe, according to sort of Western literature and Western imagery. And he says also, when I have seen by time's fell hand deface the rich proud cost of outworn buried age. Yesterday, Sabrine was telling me they're reading Shakespeare and it's in, you know, Shakespeare's language. You know, it takes a little time to think about Shakespeare's language. When I have seen by time's fell hand deface the rich, proud cost of outworn, buried age. Many things the ego come, and many things are very important. But when time comes, it all destroyed. It's all the beauty of its deface loses its sharpness and its beauty, and the time in which it took place, whatever took place, is now buried, worn and buried. And so the sort of saying is that if you try to run a race against time, you lose. You'll lose. Any race against time, you'll lose. And it's in the spiritual part of this context that we have to understand what conquers time. What conquers time, Allah tells us. He tells us that if life is to be considered under the metaphor of like a contract or a bargain in business, human beings by merely attending to their material gains will lose. Because when he makes up his daily account in the afternoon, it will show a loss. It will only show profits if we have faith, if we lead a good life, and if we contribute to the social well-being, the social well-being of humanity by directing and encouraging other people on the path of truth and other people on the path of constancy. This is the only thing, because you're leaving a legacy of renewed effort and renewed social well-being and social welfare and of faith, encouraging one another to faith, encouraging one another to good works, so that every moment is filled with faith and good works. Except such as have faith and do righteous deeds or work, and join together in the teaching of what is true and patience and constancy. In this sense, then, faith is like the armor which wards off the wounds of the material world, in battle with the material world. And we're battled with our nafs amara. And a good life, a righteous life, is our contribution to our spiritual growth and our spiritual ascent, if you will. And if we live only for ourselves, we would not fulfill our full duty. But whatever good we have, especially in ethical good and spiritual good and social good, we have to spread among our brothers and sisters so that they may see the truth, that they may stand by it in patience and in hope, with an unshaken sense of effort and constancy in the midst of all of the storms and the stresses, the vicissitudes of our day-to-day life. And for this person, for yourself, and that, and the others, you have attained to this sabr, patience and perseverance, peace. Just a few lines. One of the most powerful ayahs in the whole surahs in the whole Quran. It's a map of life. How we should live our life during this token period of time. And a small evidence of something much greater, how we have, by the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, certain opportunities. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, as you have spoken about this surah on a number of occasions, or a few occasions, its depth, I think that we have to understand, reflect on it again, because I think the last time I talked about it, somebody from a foreign planet came, and you may remember, you know, from another planet came and looked at the conditions of the world we live in today, which have been brought to the forefront by the meetings in New York this week. The United Nations and Clinton Initiative and others. And if people from another planet just saw the illnesses that beset human beings, and I don't mean just the swine flu or HIV AIDS, they might draw some very profound conclusions about humanity. And one is that somehow the future of humanity is determined by, if the future of humanity is determined by the state of humanity today, the future of humanity is not only neurotic, but it's psychotic. I would say that it's not only bipolar, it's quadrupolar. Whatever that might mean, I don't know. Because there's so much unhappiness, and there's so much pain, and there's so much suffering, and there's so much hypocrisy, and there's so much hysteria, and there's so much depression in the world today, we can conclude that the whole history of humanity, that person might conclude that the whole history of humanity, that human existence is a continuous sequence of irrationality and neurosis and psychosis, and sometimes well over the line, you know, beyond even psychotic behavior, genocidal, absolute madness. I mean, what other conclusion might you not draw from that, looking at the history of humanity? Well, I guess it depends on where they land. They landed in a Hanukkah, they landed in this community, they might see something else. But if they took an overview, a scan of humanity, and looked at the tendencies of human beings, they would say, well, there are these pockets of peace or attempted peace in a world of chaos. And the interesting thing is that it's not what most human beings think about themselves. Most human beings think about themselves as being fine. We're fine. Or they don't think about themselves in terms of fine or not fine. They think in terms of themselves of just working and surviving and putting food on the table and living. Because we can't say that we represent the majority of human beings, hardly. The majority of human beings are China, India, and Indonesia and places like that. They're not in America and Europe. We only have 500 million people when you add Europe and America together. Maybe. 500-600 million people. There are 1 billion, 2 or 3 in China now. How many? 1 billion more than? A lot. In India, 1 billion people. So we can't look at our mentality and say, well, this is the vast majority of human beings think and feel. And then you look and you see how we deal with these issues. Open up a magazine, turn on television. You take Sonambula for sleep, and you take something else for this, and you take something else for that. And by the way, and when you take it, just, you know, check with your doctor if your nails falls off and your fingernails fall out and your liver fails and your kidney drops and your kidney fails and your brain, and you become brain dead. But you'll sleep all right. So landing on this planet might be a very interesting experience for an alien. Maybe they land on the planet and before they land, they scan the advertising. These are the message from their gods to them. Their gods are sending these messages. Buy this, buy that, do this, do that. Take a cruise here, and while you're taking a cruise, take a beta blocker, or take a this, or whatever you have to take. I'm not commenting on the usefulness and non-usefulness of pharmaceuticals. I'm commenting on what the observation may be. Certainly, obviously, pharmaceuticals are necessary. So what do we do with this information? What is this ayah telling us? How do we overcome this narcissism, this neurosis, these psychotic behaviors that somebody from a spaceship might say, you know, this is a pretty polluted place. Let's clean it up. Oh, everything's gone. I'm not going to land there. We might get swine flu and take it back to our planet. I just scan it and get rid of these people. Or worse than that, better than that, faster than that. Let's just send a couple of our people down to become president of the United States or head of the countries, and they'll screw it up for themselves, and they'll never know that we were up here watching. Can we really, is it fair to look at history of humanity as a series of constant pains inflicted on human beings by one another, injuring, illnesses, purposeful illnesses, vengeance, revenge, conspiracies? We don't have to look very far back in history to have a whole panoply of those. Or can we look at humanity as a magnification, not a progression, but of a kind of adolescent mentality that people never grew out of? Or can we look at humanity as being an opportunity, of human beings having an opportunity to raise themselves up, to to reflect upon themselves. Now, what does it take for that to happen? Certainly, it's a role that religion is supposed to have been playing. It certainly is a role that religion has played in the lives of many people, to reflect upon ourselves. Is it just about surviving and being healthy and, you know, eating organically and living in this community and or whatever and making some small contribution to humanity? Or is it possible that a small contribution can be truly a large contribution? Is it possible in the realm of possibility that there can be a major paradigm shift? And what does it take? And what it seems to take is what is said in this ayat. What it seems to take is a reflection upon ourselves and a deepening of our faith and the doing of good deeds and good works. Isn't it strange that it could be that? So simple. We've seen cultures rise and fall. Nations rise and fall. Cultures almost be destroyed and become extinct, and indeed some have, by the improvements made in them by the people who came to pillage their lands, like the Mayans or whatever, when the Spanish came to this part of the world. Remember the story I like to tell about the Parthenon survives for all those millenniums to get it, but to get blown up because somebody hides explosives, gunpowder in it, right? Survives all those wars, and then modern technology, gunpowder just put inside of it, and boom, Parthenon is destroyed. Is that a metaphor for something? The Persians set fire to Athens, the Greeks to Persepolis, the Germans lay waste to Moscow, the Russians destroyed Berlin. We helped them do that. The Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, we scorched the earth in Vietnam and Cambodia, Laos, Beirut, Sarajevo, Bosnia, Iraq, Afghanistan. And we sit back and we look at the Romans who sat and watched them and watched the gladiators and think that they were cruel and crude and barbarians. How do we get out of this situation? I didn't mention Hiroshima and Nagasaki. What is it that takes us to reflect upon ourselves? What does it take? Obviously not that. It's not, cruelty isn't enough. Genocide obviously is not enough. Greed is obviously not enough. How long do we reflect? I mean, nothing has been done, really. Nothing's been done. I've talked to Musa about it. Nothing's been really done in this financial debacle of the global financial debacle. Nothing's been done to change anything. Just a little scare, and then everybody sort of goes back to nothing again, waiting for the next thing. Isn't it right, Musa? What's been done? Worse than nothing. What does it take? What does it take? It takes another paradigm. We can't keep operating this paradigm. It doesn't work. Nothing, it doesn't work. If humanity was a car, it would be a lemon. If it was your computer, you'd be throwing it against the wall. You'd be saying it's a Dell running Vista. It's not an Apple. It's not a Mac. Let alone it's not a Linux system. If humanity's history teaches you anything, it is that all of it doesn't work. And okay, it's great. and interesting that you get a guy like Gaddafi who stands up and blasts the United Nations, and not a madman with some strange Bedouin sense in him, blasts the United Nations. Then you have a Netanyahu who blasts the United Nations. I mean, could you be at opposite ends of the spectrum and be right? Two people be right? They both blast the UN. What are they blasting? What are they saying? That if this is an organization that's supposed to do what it says it's supposed to do, then it has to do it. And if it doesn't do it, it doesn't do it, and it has an business being in existence. That's what they said. They're right. Why? Because their paradigm doesn't work. It doesn't work. But only short of war and a peace treaty, a genocide and a couple of trials. And who goes on trial? You know, an investigation into torture, and some low-level colonel or general goes to jail. Not the president, not the vice president, not the people who made the... It's the way it is. It's the way of the world, as Shakespeare would say. The way of the world. It doesn't work. It's only band-aids. But Allah has told what works throughout the centuries. Okay, you're going to do it that way? You do it that way, it's not going to work. You do it this way, it'll work. Nobody wants to do it that way because religion gets put into the realm and spirituality gets put into the realm of secularism. It gets translated into the realm of the physical world. And it loses a lot. Loses a lot. You can't tell me, at least none of us know for sure. I can say this for sure, that we don't know for sure. Not that? I can say for sure that we don't know for sure that if all those leaders sat under proper guidance and instruction, sincerely in meditation, sincerely in meditation and prayer, that their decisions wouldn't be different. If they had taqwa, real fear of Allah. Wouldn't you just like it, oh Allah, wouldn't it be nice, oh Allah, if you really wanted us to act according to your means and your ways and that you just gave us all a little peek at hell. Just a little peek at hell. Just a little one. Tiny. Little. Of course, the problem with that is we would believe that we were hallucinating and it wasn't true. Or we're under some drug. We were taking too much Levitra. Took an extra dose of Cialis. No, that's not that. Yeah. Something. Can't remember what the names of these things are. That'd be dangerous. Or I like one of these ones that says, a woman shouldn't come near it. Don't touch the package. Some of these one of these things that, you see this one drug that they have? That a woman shouldn't touch it? No matter what? Right? Yeah, there's one drug that says, you know, no woman should touch it. Huh? I don't know what it does. No, it's deadly or something. I don't know what it does. Something. But just think, if you get a little peek at that, I mean, there is another paradigm. There is a paradigm of love and service and good deeds and sincerity, good works and faith. That's what Allah is telling us. But it's so easy. I mean, we've got that right here, you know. I got that on Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. Shabbat, Sabbath, Friday, now, Khutbah. I got it now. When we open up when I read at the beginning, it says, you know, come to Juma and then you go return to your trading. You know, leave your trading, and then the opposite is then you see in Morocco everybody grabs their shoes and goes running up. You know, running. But their shoes in their hands get back to their stores, to their trading. Right? The idea between that about that is that you take what you've got and you go and you'd be an honest trader. Not that you take a little bit of time, you go to the mosque, you pray, and then you go back to cheating people. Go back to making money. That's not the point. The point is, you take a break between, you remind you, go back and you be an honest broker, an honest trader. But we improved the world we live in. So I just go to Lynchburg. You'll see how we improved the world we live in. Well, we cut down the forest. We put big letters up on it. And then next to it, we put a fake ski slope. Fake ski slope. A fake ski slope. You know, pretty soon, I mean, we've been eating fake food for years. Right? Fake ski slope. And this is because for enjoyment, so we can compete, so we can win for Jesus. We can ski for Jesus. Jump for Jesus. Slalom for Jesus. Well, isn't that what the whole point is? Huh? Skate for Jesus. Is that the whole point? He's going to love you because you jump for Jesus. Oh, he broke his neck. Die for Jesus. I mean, can you imagine sitting up in a spaceship and watching people ski down fakes from out of snow? So, what are we going to do? After these centuries of fighting fighting in the name of religion for peace and killing people in the name of peace and Netanyahu going to the, well, it's okay, you know, if the Hamas is going to hide among the population, we've got to kill Hamas, so, you know, collateral damage. What craziness, what insanity this is. It's absolute insanity. There is no God in this. There is no Judaism in this. There's no Christianity in this. There's no Islam in this. None, 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 none. Allah has been forgotten, and only the name remains. The truth is forgotten, and the name alone remains. He told Allah, tells him, we're told this, the time will come when only the name of Islam will remain. Right? Isn't that what's told? And when up will be down, and wrong will be right. We're certainly skirting on the edges of that. Not only do we see religious wrongs, we have, you know, fairly irreligious society of individuals where the civil and the secular liberties are being carefully excised from the society. And consequently, you'll be forgotten. Forgotten. No matter what label one identifies themselves with, everyone is victimized by this mentality. Everyone is a victim of this kind of mentality. Everyone. We're all suffering because of what's happening in Iran. We're all suffering because of what's happening in Darfur. We're all suffering because of what's happening in China. We're all suffering what's happening in Palestine and in Israel. And with all these great inventions and discoveries that we have, Moses told me this amazing thing. I said, blew me away. And then the children told me about a better one. Even another one. He takes out his iPhone and he takes a picture of something, and then immediately it comes up and tells you where you can buy it. Took a picture. And immediately it tells you exactly where you can go and buy it. Blew me away. And then the kids were telling me that you can hold the iPhone up to a radio and it can hear a singer and tell you who the singer is. And what the song is. Huh? How far are we away from holding it up to your face and getting a complete profile? We're there. We're there. Huh? Hold it up to your face and tell you, that's Sheikh Ahmed Abdul Rashid. He lives at this address and that. He wrote the following things. And, you know, and it'll be the Google's new thing, which is, what is it called, Ira? What is it called? SciWiki. Which will then be able to, you can comment on it. It's like a Wikipedia. So you can write my history. You can rewrite my history. So every reason, and if I don't go back and correct it, that's who you'll be known for. Huh? Well, I have a solution. You don't have to forget about Islam. You know, all you have to do is write a beautiful history of humanity. That's right. Everything's fine. There never were any wars. There's no genocide. Everything's fine. Sound like something? Everything's fine. What are you worried about? This is the Wikipedia called 1984. It's off by 50 years. No? We're back there. We had this discussion once before, actually, about 1984, if I remember correctly. Millenniums. You know, what do we discover? We discovered atomic power, communications technology, space technology, biotechnology, and the victims of our discoveries are us. We're not masters of these discoveries. We're victims of these discoveries. Should they not have been made? No. That's not the point. The point is, in what paradigm do they exist? And so we're like invalids under the sway of our own creations. We see families that are slaves to their own children. We're more slaves than we are masters. The great Sufi Attar in the 12th century, looking at his society and finding in it the same things, he wrote a volume where he discussed how our false wants and desires, our interests and our corrupted values hold us back, hold back our personal and collective growth. In about 7,000 lines of poetry, he discusses the story of a wise man who has 6 well-educated sons. Remember that? And all of them, despite the fact that they were successful, were unhappy and they were all discontent. And one day, the wise father called them together and he says, if you inform me of your deepest desires, I promise to help you attain contentment and satisfaction, or at least I'll show you the path to happiness. And each son presented his desire. The first one said he was in love with the daughter of a king of the fairies. Nothing would make him happier than to be married to that one woman. The second son said that he was madly in love with magic and sorcery. The third one wanted to have a crystal ball to see the future. The fourth one was seeking everlasting life through the fountain of youth. The fifth was in search of King Solomon's ring, his mind, and his power. And the sixth son was in love with alchemy. The father analyzed each case according to its merit. And using various allegorical stories, examples, and sayings, he showed that their desires were unrealistic and illusory. He then presented the path of tasawuf, of self-awakening to them. I recommend it. You should read it. It's on the Sufi's unpublished bestsellers list. It's been around for a long time. You know what the book is? You know what it is? Which book is it? Go figure it out. Figure it out. You can just Google it, get a little thing, and see which one it is if I thought it's right. In other words, if we don't make an effort to find the truth, why should we get the truth to come to us? We know what happens every time we do too much for somebody. It's not appreciated. So I'm bringing it to your attention. You go figure out what the book it is. It's on my shelf if you want it. You can borrow it. Take it up here and read it. Otherwise, you'll get lost. The Sufis are the real Muslims. The Sufis are the real Muslims. The real believers. Because Sufis believe that the desire of our minds and our social problems are fears, and insecurities and doubts and our own jealousies and our own despair and our own envies and other sort of things, they are due to unhealthy conditions of our life, and we have to improve our life. We have to improve our health. We have to improve our life. And through tasawuf, through Islam and tasawuf, we can come to this kind of synergy or synthesis. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in living this verse, in the Holy Quran, which I quote, Wa'as, the insan of Afikosa. You know, Ladina Amanu Amalus Soli Hadir Tawasa Tahako Tawasa Tisubra, Sabra, emphasizes that the truth comes out of intention. It comes out of action. It comes out of faith. It comes out of good works and good deeds. And he encourages and requires us to do daily prayer and to may do zakat and may finish our fasting as we just finished and make pilgrimage. Why? To affirm our values and defend our values, but the inner jihad being the overriding meaningful principle has been clarified to the whole world. Do good deeds. Change yourself. Disapprove of the things that are wrong and destructive. Be tolerant to the people who do them, but do not tolerate the evil that comes from them. And with these guidelines, establish brotherhood and a sisterhood and a camaraderie that's not been known before in humankind. And this is a strong foundation. It has some weak timbers in it, in the structure. And periodically we have to renovate buildings. And that's where we are. It's like a tajdeed. We know about it. We know what we have. We've built some buildings here on strong foundations and poor wood. Concrete blocks okay, but some of the buildings are rotting away. We have to fix them. Bismillah. You have to understand what the Prophet is telling us. Why it's important to pray. Why it's important to meditate. Why it's important to live a good life. Why it's important to serve others. Why is it important to put yourself second? Why is it important to be a trustworthy person? What is prayer, really? Allah says in a famous ayat, Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth, whose oil is well nigh luminous, though fire has scarce touched it. And each human being is made of that light. So let's find that light. The secret of each of us is in that light. Because we're khalifas of Allah, we have the opportunity to choose. And I'll end by saying what Sheikh Ibn al-Habib said, radiallahu anhu. Ibn al-Habib said, if a man knew the secret of his heart, he would never speak again. He would shed a tear with every breath that he took. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides those who allow him to guide him. It's a metaphor of our own life. That's to say, inside of us we have to sing the praises of Allah. We have to walk toward the light. There is one reality we call the animal mithal. It is an expression within us that can't even be spoken. It has to be sung. It has to be revised. With our hearts and our hands and our eyes and our tongues and our intentions. So that the darkness of this world can lift and we can move into a whole nother paradigm. We have to believe it. We live at a time when this kind of khutbah can be transmitted immediately. You can put it up on the internet today if we want to, if we had the will to, and if we had the time and the intention to, and it would be seen by millions of people perhaps, or thousands of people. So we have to use our technology correctly. We have to start our prayer properly. We have to finish our prayer properly, and we have to realize that everything comes between those prayers are very, very important things that we do. And to serve all those who need to be served and be effective in our service. We don't cast out of this world those people who are in need. We have to provide for them. We have no excuse for our own selfishness. We have no excuse. We can't excuse the selfishness and the greed of others either. But we can work to change it. And certainly all those miserable, horrible things that I began with, the genocides and the wars and the history of humanity, can't be obliterated, but can be ameliorated by the future. And I pray that Allah gives us a safe journey in this journey of life that we're on, inshallah. And we hope and pray that the fools and the idiots, the kafirs who call themselves Muslims, who would dare to hurt innocent people, making bombs in hotel rooms, stupid people. They should be punished to the extent of the law. But not just the secular law. They should be punished by knowing what real justice is by Allah. Until their repentance is such that they don't even excuse their own existence. Stupid people. When we don't change ourselves, who is going to change us? Listen now. اللهم صل على خير ناصر وصل على خير فاتحين واغفر واغفر لنا فينا خير غافرين وارحمنا فينا خير راحمين وارزقنا فينا خير رازقين واهدنا ناجنا من الخام الظالمين وهب لنا رجعنا طيبة كما هي في علمك وشرنا علينا من خزائنه في رحمتك وارحمنا بها حمل سلامات ما سلامات وعافية في الدين والدنيا والآخرة إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم يسر لنا أمرنا ما أرادته بقلوبنا بأبادنا وسلامتنا بعافيتي في ديننا وديننا ونسألك إيمانا دائما ونسألك قلبا كاسيا ونسألك علما نافعا. You don't believe in this? ونسألك دينا كاميا ونسألك عافيتي من كل بلايا ونسألك تعمل عافيتي وعافيتي ونسألك دعوة وعافية ونسألك شكر وعافية إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم واصفر وجهنا بنور صفاتك وآتك نبو وشيرنا يومني وكيماتي بينا ولي يلكب وجعله وجعاتك مبسوطة علينا وأهل أهلنا ومن معنا برحمتك وكن لنا صاحبا وسفارا وكافة كالفة في أهلنا وأثنس على وجه أيدنا وانساخهم على مكاناتهم فلا يستعنون على مدي ولا ماجر علينا يعني ما المجيب Oh Allah, respond, O responder, to our prayer, because you're the only one who can aid us, and you're the best at forgiving, you're the most merciful, and you're the greatest provider, and guide us and deliver us from the hands of the oppressors and our own oppression. Grant us a fair wind in accord with your knowledge, and make order easy for us and serenity in our hearts and our lives and our bodies and peace being in our world and our spiritual life. And give us a submissive heart as we beseech you for the knowledge and certainty and straightness in our path and freedom from affliction and continual well-being. And help us to be the kind of a being that has lived a good life and can laugh on the day of and rejoice on the day of resurrection among our friends and your companions, O Allah. Ameen. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله ونعمته ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والملائكة والمقربين وأولي الله الصالحين ومجاهدين في الدين برحمتك يا رحمن الرحيم. وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المبين: ما إن لله وملكاته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد. اللهم ورد وسادتنا وخلفاء الراشدين وابو بكر والصديق وعمر وفاخر وعثمان والنورين وعلى سيدنا الامام علي كرم الله وجهه وورد اللهم عن سيدنا الحسن وسيدنا الحسين وعن امهم وسيارات فاطمه وزهرة وعلى بيت الكرام وازواج النبي المطهرات وامات المؤمنين وصحابه الصالحين وتابعين وتابعين تابعين وعباد المخلصين وبيسلمين وإمامين وإحسانين يوم الدين. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. وذكر الله أكبر. معكم الصلاة.